You are listening to Valor Voices, a production of the Valor Officer Safety and Wellness Program. The Valor Program is funded through grants from the Bureau of Justice Assistance, BJA, Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice. The points of view and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the podcast authors and do not necessarily represent the official positions or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. Here's your host.
Hi, I'm John Boothelet, and I'm a lead instructor with the Valor Program and the host of this edition of Valor Voices podcast. I'm joined today with Lieutenant Brandon Post from the Provo Utah Police Department. Brandon is one of our Valor instructors who is a subject expert on physical fitness and wellness. Brandon is a certified physical fitness specialist and a member of the Provo Police Fitness Committee and has taught on the topic of fitness, health, and wellness for 15 years. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Brandon, we're here to talk about the concept of physical fitness. And it's kind of strange that we have to have this conversation as law enforcement officers, but I'm going to ask you a pretty simple question. Why do we need to talk about fitness, especially as it pertains to the profession of being a law enforcement officer?
Well, as we all know, fitness is very important to us as a species. We know the whys. It's been drawn into us for years and years of why exercise is important. Yet with all the knowledge, the data shows that less than 10% of the population exercises vigorously at least three times a week. So despite the knowledge, we don't do that great with it. And when you talk about us specifically as law enforcement, obviously we have a physical job. We need to take people into custody often that don't want to be taken into custody. So we need a certain degree of physical capability to do that. Now, if the average person doesn't hardly ever exercise, you think it'd be easy for us to overcome that person or safely physically restrain them. But there's been study and data that come out that compare us, the average officer, specifically to the average individual. And sadly, all those results have come out showing that we are fatter, weaker, less flexible, less energetic than the average person. So it's important we talk about fitness and why we are this way.
Yeah, I agree with you. One of the things I've done in my career, especially in the early parts of my career, I was big on strength training. I think that was the trend back when I first started with this job. And I still think it's an important piece of what we do today to stay physically fit and increase our physical wellness. Let's talk about that for a little bit. And I like the way you started this, Brandon, comparing the profession, the law enforcement profession, to the general population. So let's kind of keep going with that a little bit. And I'm asking a quick question is, why is strength training important for the general population to begin with?
Well, we know strength training, as we get older, we just naturally lose muscle. Our metabolism slows and we naturally gain fat. What's amazing about strength training is at any age, and they've done this with geriatrics even, strength training, it adds muscle that increases our metabolism, which absolutely helps in terms of fat loss. I don't know about any other departments out there, but we have had a ton of light duty people in the last several years. Strength training absolutely helps to reduce the risk of injury. If your joints, your muscles are used to that force exertion, suddenly when you find yourself out on the road restraining someone, you're not as likely to succumb to injury. Many other things. High blood pressure, which 3/4 of law enforcement has high blood pressure. It really helps reduce high blood pressure. And the one that I've always liked is, let's say you're a pear shape. You want to change the shape of your body, and you decide you're going to do a lot of running. Now, running's awesome and does fantastic things for you. But if that's your solution to change the shape of your body, the only thing that's really going to happen is you're going to become a smaller pear. The way you sculpt your body is through strength and weight training. It's the only way to change your body shape.
Yeah, and that's interesting too, especially when it comes to strength training. And one of the things that I've always realized, and I've come to realize when I got older, was that a lot of the time with police work that we're in a sedentary state. A lot of our work is done with what they say from where I came from, a pencil and a pad, but now it's a computer in the car. Yep. But and then all of a sudden that lid comes off that we get those calls or respond to something that's going on that requires us to be at our maximum best. And I was wondering, does strength training actually have an impact on that when it comes to law enforcement or affect the fact that we go from that sedentary state all the way to a full 6,000 RPMs? Does that have an impact on how we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic point to bring up. Because if you look, okay, I love MMA, UFC stuff. So you're watching these extreme athletes or NBA or NFL or whatever the sport is. These are the most fit people on the planet. And before they compete, you watch and they're all doing a rigorous warm-up. It's because even though they are in superb physical condition, they know that you just it's just not healthy to take the body from 0 to 60 with zero warm up or zero prep time. We don't get the luxury of a warm up. Obviously, they're not going to notify us if they're going to resist or something we're going to have to pursue or fight or get in a shootout. We just don't get the opportunity to warm up. So if you've been doing strength training, you're just that little bit less likely to actually succumb to the injury because the muscles and the joints, the tendons, they're used to that kind of strenuous effort. They're used to resistance and working as opposed to somebody who hasn't worked out in a long time and now suddenly they're ramping up to 6,000 degrees, as you said, with zero. And this is the first time in months or even years that they've done that. It's injury is almost a certainty in that case.
Yeah, and also, again, in my days in patrol, strength training was a big piece of what I did. And I also was the process of that professional law enforcement officer that I wanted to look the part. We used to call it, where I came from in New Jersey, I didn't want to look like a soup sandwich. So I spent a lot of time making sure that I look good in uniform. Do you think that plays a difference as well in how we do this job?
I believe so. And I think any of us who've been on the road for very long also believe so. Just like if we're sizing up someone, wondering like, you know, if this person's going to resist, how am I going to be able to take them? They are absolutely doing the same thing to us. And if we've got an individual looking at us and they realize, you know what, this guy's squared away, he can handle himself, you know what, I'm going to cooperate in this instance, which may not be as likely if they size up the person and think, yeah, I can take this guy. I got to get away from him.
Yeah, and I think that it's an important part. And I want to just really quick kind of go over that. We came to that conclusion during a study called The Deadly Mix that the FBI did. And it's one of the foundational pieces of the Valor program, that what you just said, Brandon, is exactly true, that you're constantly being sized up, you're being evaluated, and that if you're perceived to be weak or indecisive, the greater the chance that you'll be challenged. And I'm a firm believer in that process. Do you agree with me on that one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it kind of goes along the line, too, that not only does it give you confidence and just kind of in your appearance and how they judge you, but I mean, really, when you get into some of the strength training, some of it, now this is a little more advanced stuff. It's not somebody who doesn't just start out do this, but sometimes it can hurt a little bit. I mean, you can have some pain, you can have, the body wants to quit, it wants to shut down, but because you're not done with whatever set rep scheme you're doing, your mind is going to push you through it. It's going to push you through the pain, and you're going to learn things about yourself. You know, my body can do more than I think it can. And I think that is directly applicable to the job, because if you find yourself in a alleyway in the middle of the night and somebody's not cooperating and it's there between you and going home, you realize you can push harder. Your mind and your body have been trained to understand that I can get through this even though it hurts and I'm going home. I can continue to produce and overcome this person.
So the strength training part is important to mindset and preparation.
Very much.
Okay, now we talk about strength training, and you know, if you just go on the internet or watch TV, and you're constantly bombarded with different types, different things, different gadgets. What are the actual different means of strength training that you're aware of?
So I think we're probably all aware of just traditional or bro training, as they like to call it. Just it's sets and reps, and there's been a lot of people who've gotten a lot of success over that on the years. It's effective for what you're trying to achieve with that, which is hypertrophy, which means muscle growth. Cross workout is excellent for making your mind fully comprehend that you can do hard things, you continue to push through. That's where it excels. And there's constant muscle confusion, meaning just different things going on with the cross workout. Does very well with that. Circuit training, which is kind of a predecessor to cross workout, just full body training rather than the old bro style, which you're going to concentrate on just your chest and back on this day. Circuit training, you're just hitting full body every time. Also an effective approach. Body weight training. There's a fantastic one, which basically is a timer. There's different studies that have shown how effective it can be for your cardiovascular system. But basically what you're doing in this one is you're going 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. So just for a simple example, if I'm going to do push-ups, I'm going to do as many push-ups as I can in 20 seconds, then rest 10 seconds, as many as I can in 20. And you do that 8 times, and you get a vicious workout with no equipment in like 2 minutes that gets your heart rate running.
And that's interesting because, again, I keep dating myself here, but I was, you call it the bro sets. I was a bang and clang, plates, 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 plates. That's what I, that's all we ever did. And when you work out with cops, you'll understand that. You know, it's if one officer does 300 on a bench, the next officer wants to do 305, and it gets out of control. I know we just used the term bro training, but when we mean bro, were we talking about both men and women in law enforcement, correct?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, bro is the term. It's obviously not a gender-neutral term, but it's meant in a gender-neutral way where it goes with both. Women can get just as much benefit from strength training as men, and contrary to some of the myths that have been perpetuated in the past, women are not going to get very bulky with strength training.
And of course, when we talk about this, we're talking about the law enforcement profession. So anytime we have this discussion as we continue forward, we're talking about both men and women. So at the end of the day, we're talking about that thin blue line and then making sure that they get the most out of the strength training that they can.
Absolutely. We're all walking that line together.
But what we talk about now, and I think it's more important in the discussion, is the concept of that, even though that strength training is important, is the concept of functional fitness. And that's an idea that I came in contact with the Valor program and actually introduced it through you, who brought it to my attention. Can we talk about the concept of functional fitness and why it's important to law enforcement?
Yeah, absolutely. So just full disclosure here, I'm a big fan of traditional bro style bang and clang sets and reps, and I still do it frequently. But functional fitness, what functional fitness does is it's trying to replicate real world activity, motion in the gym. So your body becomes accustomed to doing these compound multi-joint movements, which obviously if you're chasing someone, if you're in a fight, you're trying to restrain someone who doesn't want to cooperate, you're not doing it isolated. When I say multi-joint, so if you think of a bicep curl, that's you're isolating just the elbow into the end of the body, and the only joint that's moving in this exercise is the elbow. So it's a single joint exercise, and you are isolating the bicep, trying to make it be the only thing that's functioning because you're that's what you're trying to hit as a bicep in this exercise. A compound motion or functional fitness, we're thinking more of like deadlifts, squats, twists with medicine balls, things like that are involving multi-joints. A lot of joints are moving. A lot of muscle, different muscle groups are being used. And the real benefit of this is sometimes you can get imbalances if you just train single joint too often, where the multi-joint compound exercises are hitting so many muscle groups, it creates an overall balance. So if we're going back a couple of years, just a quick story about functional fitness. I had been doing a lot of just traditional weightlifting for quite some time, felt I was in pretty good shape, went out with a buddy where we're going to do a more functional fitness workout. We had to grab these medicine balls. And you take the medicine ball, crouch down, and you just throw the thing up as high and as far as you can behind you. So it's using a whole lot of your posterior muscle chain group, you know, your glutes, your hamstrings, your back, things like that. And it's rep one. I'm all warmed up even, and I bent down and threw that ball, and my entire posterior chain locked up because I wasn't used to. I hadn't been doing well with my functional fitness. It was a very quick lesson that I needed to expand what I was doing.
So when we talk about functional fitness, so see if I remember this correctly, has been taught by you, is that it's just the one piece of the strength training tends not to be enough. It's good. It's a good start, but there should be a multi-layered attack to the strength training process, correct?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I think that works out best for all involved. Now, here's the other thing I always hear, Brandon, and you probably do that in your agency, you heard of mine, the excuses. Why I can't. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't strength train. We all heard the excuses. Either it's they don't have time to go to the gym or there's no gym in their agency. But let's talk about that. What do you say to those excuses that you always hear?
It seems simplistic, but we make time for what's important to us. So many of us work multiple jobs. We've got family commitments, mandatory overtime, low staffing. It results in a very busy, chaotic lifestyle. And then to compound it with all the, we don't know that we had time to go into that, but all the epinephrine and cortisol that gets released in your system from being vigilant as a police officer all day in your shift. When you get off shift, you go home, that stuff kills your energy and you're exhausted. So that, coupled with no time, makes it very difficult to force yourself into an exercise. I would say as far as the time goes, another quick example. So in my family, we're big goal people, New Year's resolution goal people. And I love to read, and I hadn't been reading as much as I wanted lately. So my wife and I sat down and we're just kind of going through our schedule, like, when could we fit some more reading time in here? Because we live very full, busy lives. And it came down to typically our pattern is we put the kids to bed and then we'd watch a half hour comedy. We've done just some little short episode.
Okay.
What we decided to do is take that out. We're not doing that anymore. And we're just sitting on the couch and reading together for that half hour. So it's, I think fitness is the same way. If how often, the studies show that the average person today is spending 2 hours a day on social media. How much TV are you watching? There's things that you can cut out. As long as you label fitness as more important than those things and create a habit system, it just becomes, and start small, just something really short, 10, 15 minutes of working out. Start with that until it becomes a habit, and then we can expand on it as needed.
Yeah, and I think we also have to keep focused on the fact is what we do for a living. The very nature of what we do as law enforcement officers requires us to have some level of physical fitness. And I think
absolutely,
it's incumbent upon a police officer today, if you consider yourself to be a professional police officer, to maintain that level of physical fitness. Now, one of the things I've done, and I'll defer to you again, is, you know, instead of having to worry about going out or getting home and going back out to a gym or finding the time to go to the gym, can you give me some insight on how to set up like your basic own home gym? How hard would that be to get to accomplish the strength training that you talked about?
I don't believe it's hard at all, actually. In fact, I have a home gym and I love it because the biggest thing is I don't have to get off shift, come home, get my gear, and then be away from family even more time and drive over to a gym to get a workout. I talked a little bit about habits. Being consistent with this stuff, I think, is all about habits. My habit is right before I'm getting off shift, like the last thing I do, I take my pre-workout, so I know I got to drive home and start my workout, but it's at the home. And I'm able to be with my family. They come in and talk to me while I'm working out. I'm not away from my family while I'm doing this. Very basics of a home gym are how much space do you have? What's your goal? If you're going to start really small, start with things simple, like a flat bench and a very simple dumbbell set, a jump rope, a pull-up bar, just little simple things that you can add until you start getting more advanced and maybe a little more time, space, and money. And now you're adding things like a squat rack and that. But I think there's some pretty significant advantages to having a home gym because it's pretty difficult to come up with an excuse why not to work out when the gym is attached to your home and is always available.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I have one in my house, and it's basically what you just talked about, some simple dumbbells. I have a treadmill, and I have a flat bench, and I find that it works very well for me. So I always like to end these podcasts with a takeaway. Now, you gave a lot of great information today, Brandon, and I hope people realize why you are one of our subject experts on a topic based on what you told us today. But can you recommend a simple strength training workout that someone can do with little time and little equipment, and we'll give that to anybody listening today and at least give them a starting point?
Perfect, yeah. Start small. Biggest recommendation, don't do too much too soon. Start small. Bruce Lee has an excellent quote where he says, long-term consistency trumps short-term intensity. And Bruce Lee knew what he was talking about. But just a very simple is do a circuit if you're just starting. Do a circuit and hit each muscle group. And so I would start with chest. You're going to lay down. If you got a flat bench, you're going to lay down and do 12 reps with some dumbbells for chest. Then you're going to switch to shoulders, 12 overhead presses, switch to pull-ups, 12 pull-ups. Just basically you're hitting every, and then you're going to go to legs with 12 squats, and you're going to do those one after the other, and then to throw some viciousness in at the end, maybe just 5 burpees, but you're going to do that as a round, rest 30 seconds, do it again as another round, rest 30 seconds, and there's a decent workout to start out with.
That sounds like something that anybody could do.
Yeah.
And like you said, start out with an achievable goal. And work from there. That's what we're saying. That's a good stuff. Hey, really, and Brandon, I just want to say right off the start, hey, thank you for taking time out of your day. I know you're very busy at Provo, Utah. I just want to thank you for your time and talking to me about the topic of strength training. Also, I want to encourage our listeners. It's easy not to do anything, but you have to do something. So please, exercise, get healthy, and get healthy to get home. And that's what we talk about in Valor. You have to get home. And by increasing your level of activity, doing the strength training is one of the ways that you'll do that. I also remind everybody, don't forget to visit the Valor website for additional information about this topic as well. Brandon, anything you want to add before we close it out today?
No, thank you for the opportunity, and everyone be safe.
Okay, thank you, sir.
The information presented in this podcast is for educational purposes only and does not substitute for or replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. You should always seek the advice of your physician or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding medical conditions or treatments before undertaking any new healthcare regimen, fitness, or nutrition program. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking it because of something said in this podcast.
The Valor Program is dedicated to delivering training, developing resources, and conducting research to improve the safety and wellness of law enforcement professionals across the country. For additional information regarding the Valor Program, please visit valorforblue.org, download the app on the Apple or Google Play Store, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or send us an email at valor@iir.com. The Bureau of Justice Assistance, BJA, and the Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice, is committed to making our nation's communities safer through resources, developing programs, and providing grant funding opportunities to support state, local, and tribal criminal justice efforts. All are available at no cost. Please visit www.bja.gov to learn more.